you know, that thing about England, you said they blew up all your equipment and stuff, or?
Oh, yeah. We lost everything in England, and we had to make invasions pretty soon. I guess it's 2 weeks later, but we got the equipment, and then we got out from, I forget what part of England we left at. But I'll tell you, Bob, when I looked on the ocean, all the ships that we had there, I thought, boy, that Germans will never get in, never win that war, and we go in there. It's just hundreds of ships on the water.
Wow.
And then, you know, I don't know how they ever make it. The water was really rough there, Bob.
Yeah.
And they said, they sent a ship that goes into, what do you call, flagship between the convoy. They said, we're not going to make a invasion June the 5th. We're going to have to make it on June the 6th because the water in the channel is awful rough.
Yeah.
But then it was kind of rough even when we got in there. But I'll tell you, I had two packs of ammunition on my shoulders, two boxes of machine gun bullets for the machine gun.
Right.
And in my ammo and rifle, you know, I tell you, Bob, I was so sick from that little boat that we were on.
Yeah.
I got seasick, and I was standing right by the door. As soon as it fell down, I jumped right in the water.
Yeah.
And with my ball and ammunition and everything, I went right over my head, too.
Wow.
But the wave kind of picked me up a little by little, and I finally felt the land, and I got in. But to get over to the beach there, we had to go over a high sand dune. It looked like it was about 8 foot deep.
What beach did you land? What beach did you go to? Utah or Omaha?
Omaha.
You went to Omaha Beach. Okay.
Yeah, we went over that high beach, and then we had to come down to get on the land.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy, I tell you, Bob, I didn't know how I ever got through with it, but all the guys laying dead around me, they said it was 6,000 died right there before they even made the landing.
Wow.
So, but I saw them 88-millimeter shells going all around us. And I tell you, I said, how in the world can we get into it? You know, it must be, by God, helping me to get through them because I didn't feel nothing.
Yeah, wow.
But I got in anyway. And we got in a little ways, and then there was a big tractor pulling one of our machine guns, a cannon, I should say. And he went over a mine and blew the big tractor right off the tractor.
Wow.
And the guy fell out, and the medics was standing right by me, and he went to help that guy out. And before he got there, he kicked the tripwire that jumped out of the ground and killed him right on the spot.
Mm.
And then another guy, he was on a stretcher. He had his high cheeks shot right off. He didn't know it. He said, what happened? I guess he was in such a shock, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was quite a job. We had quite in St. Louis, a little city there. And we had that there. It's pretty hard to get through that. It must have been about 5 or 6 times before they go up and back, up and back. And finally, we got to push them back. And we finally put them on the run. I think they said it was going 90. We pushed 90 miles a day. And they couldn't set up nothing because it was going too fast.
Now, 90 miles a day, you must have been on trucks then, right?
Yeah, when I got into Belgium, though, and we got into a nice city there. We had a nice school to sit in, and it looked like a modern school, too. And my day mate, you know, I was working on a motor pool, and they made me to take care of 16 officers in a restaurant every day, you know.
Yeah.
So these guys here that were giving me a I think $2.50 a day, and when I figured that money was my $50 a week, or a month, I mean, I was getting over $100 a month there for a few months.
Wow.
That was pretty good money up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got through that, but before I got through Belgium, there was I had to go to hear how to fix rubber tires on the car, trucks and everything, oil. Change oil and everything. And I was walking down towards that building, and I think I was just all by myself, and that building was out in the farmer's field.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I got fired with something so full of something. I know it was a 50 caliber or 25 caliber or something, aircraft. And boy, when I woke up, Bob, I was covered with rock and mud and everything just falling all over me.
Wow.
And I didn't hear that big bomb go off. Usually, you hear a whistle or something.
Yeah.
But I think this was one of them bombs that traveled 1,500 miles an hour.
Wow.
They called it number two. The other one was number one. They only went 500 miles an hour. But this one went 1,500 miles an hour. So that's pretty fast. you could never see it going in the air because it went through them so fast. So, but I always went up there to look at where in the world that mud came from. And I'll tell you about when we went there, that hole in the ground was so deep, you could have buried, I think, about 3 houses.
Wow.
That's why I got covered up with all that mud and everything. And I thought I was being shot with bullets from the aircraft. And I just had my hands on it. Oh, my God, I guess this is it. Oh, I'll tell you, Bob, that scared the life out of me.
Well, yeah, imagine, man.
And by that time, during that time, we lost 2 men anyway during that raid. And we lost all of our equipment again this another time. So we were without equipment for a while again.
Yeah.
But and we went to school there for a while, and then we went to Germany. And I wound up in, I don't know what part of Germany, but they call it the Harz Mountains over there in Germany.
The highest mountain?
Yeah, Harz, H-A-R-S-H, something like that. Harz Mountain. And
okay.
We were living in a school there, and that school was a nice school. And you know what they had there? All the young women were making babies for Germany so they could be prepared for another big war.
Jeez.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And I was in that, so I was, did I mention the last city there?
The city, Lutz.
I just mentioned to you the last city I was there.
Harz Mountains, Germany.
I forgot. But anyway, I was in that school over there.
School.
Taking care of the officers.
Yeah.
And my colonel, he called me. He said, "Hey, Tom, come over here." And I said, "Yes, sir."
Yeah.
He said, "You see that young couple standing over there?" And he was, "All that food that's left over from the kitchen, and here's my chicken." And he said, "You give it to that young couple." Because all the boys, they went to the restaurant in town. They didn't bother to eat at camp, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of food left over. And my chaplain and I, we went to, where that moose went, moose food went. And so help me, I was feeding the whole village up there.
Wow.
Yeah, small people that had one cow, maybe a few chickens. Like,
yeah.
And I went through a lot of stuff in that darn war. But, it wasn't all picnic, but there was some good out of it, too.
Yeah. Well, you were in, like, it's kind of, looking at that map, like in the first U.S. First Army, right? You were in the...
Oh, well, I took basic training for 17 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we were in England when we left from Boston to Liverpool. We lived in England all winter long, and then in June we made that invasion.
Right. So you were just, you'd just been in the Army a short time when it happened?
We were quite all winter there in Germany. I mean, in England.
Yeah.
But we didn't do nothing. We just sent there.
Yeah.
But in the end, they said, "We better make, we're going to go on maneuvers."
Yeah.
And that was close to where we were going to make the invasion already.
Wow.
So we went to all there, got it all set up, and we got, I went to bed that night, and all of a sudden, bombs are falling all around us. And one must have fell so close to me, I thought, it took me out of the bed and they put me right on the floor.
Well, that was when was that? That was in England.
Yeah, in England.
Yeah, right.
And, there was an airplane coming, and looked, I was going to hit. But it was going to hit my house. I was going to jump out of the two-story building, but I see it leveled off, and the boys got him.
Yeah.
And next in the morning, Bob, when we got up, there was over 500 men landed on the channel.
Ah, boy.
And we didn't even make the invasion yet.
That was on the 500 men on the English Channel.
Oh, yeah. So, but then going through Germany. It was no picnic. Yet. I've seen Germany blew up a lot of the ammunition dumps, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no place there where you can hide when they blow down ammunition. The shells are flying every direction.
Yeah.
So we were just fortunate we didn't get hit. I've seen some fellows that try to push some bombs with a bulldozer, and one was shocked. He was just shocked. He was in shock, and he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's so much more, but, you know, it'll take me a long time to tell you all that.
Well, yeah, it really is, it's interesting. I mean, I know it's awful,
yeah.
Man, awful,
how's your dad doing now?
Well, he's hanging in there, you know, he's lost some weight, and then he's got his throat sore, and we've been going to the doctor,
he's living up to 70 years old soon, all right?
He's 91.
He's 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. My wife is 92 this February
28th. He'll be 92 in March.
Yeah, well, I'll be 98 in August.
Wow.
So, yeah. I, as far as I'm concerned, yet, I feel pretty good, except that lousy hip. I broke it right after it bends by my, close to my belt is there.
Yeah.
And in the hip. And I got a little four-wheel cart here that I have to use this to go around the whole house and outside where I go, I don't know.
You know, the cables and stuff like that, you know, I mean, it was back in the war. I had read, you know, I'm doing this research on World War II and stuff, and you know, what you said is up would be is great for the D-Day part, even though, you know, Eddie wasn't in the D-Day, but I you know, I had gotten a letter, Eddie wrote a letter on D-Day. It was surprising. I had found in his office, and it was one of the, I mean, Eddie was a record keeper. I mean, I had hundreds of his letters and stuff from the war, which really, oh my goodness, and he saved every little document he had, which I put on this website, and if you had a computer to look at or so, you'd just be amazed at some of the, I've got 120 pages up there on them. Or, yes, wow. I do. I'm thinking like a book or something. I don't know, but I mean, I've been working on it. It's probably been about a year now. You know, every day doing a little bit if I can or whatever. Some days doing more and other days, you know, not, but, that they buried pipe in the English Channel that I don't know if it transported oil or something. I guess that's what it was. A pipeline. Well, this is pipeline in the English Channel during, for the, that's what I just read it was, there's actually a film on it, but I guess the only place to see it is in Belgium or someplace. I don't know where it was. It was some country there. You could go view this film. I don't know if you can see it around here. And, it was a secret, I guess it was a secret project, but I thought they were talking about like electrical ones, but it sounded like it was an actual tube that they could push oil through from across the English Channel. It seemed.
Oh, that's good. They got a bridge under there now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they had the way they supplied you guys with fuel or oil. I don't know. I was just.
I know one time when I was in England, you know, you had to watch yourself when you walk on the street, and women would go after you. And so, help me, they want to date with you.
Yeah. Well, then they have things like that. You couldn't date the, Germans or something like that. You could get in trouble for going out.
I didn't know about that. Well, I was married, and my older daughter was 7 months old when I went to the service.
Yeah.
And, you know, Barbara, I just built a brand new house for her.
Yeah.
On Helen Street in Detroit. And my dad, her dad and I built a garage.
Yeah.
And all I had to do was put a floor in the garage. And I didn't finish the floor. I got that letter from the government. You're called to go to the service.
Right. Wow.
Oh, golly, Baba, my heart just went right under this. Oh.
Yeah.
Just got here, and then my wife here, she got so hysterical and I was gone. I had a neighbor next door. We kind of keep her quiet because I thought she was going to crack right up.
Yeah.
But, well, it was, and a seven-month-old girl.
Yeah.
So, you know, and when I went over that, I've been region and I got over that channel. And the guys in the foxhole, and I said to her in my letter, because I promised to write her a letter every day, and I did.
Yeah.
And I said, I just bought a brand new husband, Bob, and it was the most beautiful husband car I ever had. Then I built that house for her.
Yeah.
And then I said, don't sell that house and don't sell the car.
Yeah.
But she got bigger. I guess I wasn't going to come back. And her father even called her on. Why are you selling everything?
Yeah.
Your husband's going to come back, and what is it going to happen? And you know, she sold it anyway.
Yeah.
And then but the fire department has some kind of a prize that they give a car once a year.
Yeah.
And, Harry and Bob, when that car was a car, I don't know what they called it, a brooch ham. It was a car that had two seats, but it had a long trunk where you could put a lot of stuff in the trunk.
Wow.
And that was the husband. I bought that in 1940, I guess.
Wow.
But, she sold everything. When I come home, I didn't have nothing again. I had to start all over from scratch.
And this was, wow, that's something else.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what it did. It took the bottom of my heart right off.
Yeah.
But my wife just would not listen to me. And yeah. I thought that maybe she did. I sent all my money to her, and you know, Bob, when I was getting $250 a month from the offices, and I was getting, I think 4 or 5 months, I was getting close to $100. And I said, did you get all that money that I sent you? And I think $100 bill? No. But I got a feeling she must have lied.
Yeah, it must be because they would
send. She was pretty good at that, you know. Yeah. When I looked at her life and my life, she should have been a career woman.
Yeah.
She didn't even want the second child when I come home. I thought, well, it'd be nice to have another child to be a company with our older daughter.
Right.
You know, and she didn't like that at a bit. Well, if she'd have told me she didn't want, I would say, well, okay then. But she had a time.
Wow.
But, you know, there's a lot of things I could tell you, Bob, but it's only a bad story.
Well, your record over there in World War II is really commendable.
And, we just we're going to be 80. Oh, we just already passed 71 years, Bob, of married life.
Wow, that's weird. Congratulations.
Not very many will do that.
No, that's for sure. 71 years, that's crazy.
You know, but the last 2 years, my wife was in so bad shape, I couldn't go to church services. I guess there was nobody would ask her.
Gosh.
But if I leave her alone, I wouldn't know what she would do.
Yeah.
She got that bad already. So, the older daughter, it worked out pretty good. She worked in a nursing home. Now, my daughter's working at a hospital there, and then there's a nursing home, and then there's another building added to it, and it's only for people who are, they lose their minds. Wait, I'm really calling them.
Oh, you mean like Alzheimer's?
Yeah, they can't do nothing in their life anymore. And they built a brand new one just a while ago, and they got it filled up with 300 people, and they got to build that thing bigger yet.
Wow,
there's so many people like that.
Yeah, I remember.
I see my wife there every now and then, and some of the people, I don't think they can even sit up to eat.
I know. I worked in a nursing. I worked in a nursing home when I was in college years ago, and they had three levels of care. You know, with the people on the ground floor were the ones that were bedridden, and you know, really, you couldn't even talk to them at all. But, you know, the ones on the third and second floor were usually most of them.